Okay, you know what? I have a prop. Oh, yeah. Object lesson time here in our sermon. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, I had it hidden back here. Do you know, I was at... Oh, I better watch out for the speaker right here, eh? I was at Home Hardware a week or so ago, and look what they had on sale. The original Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Yes, I know. Here. Original Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Okay. I always wanted one of these. And so I just thought, well, hey, look, got the instructions right here. Oh. Oh, the little red Christmas ball. That could be dangerous. Oh. And we got all this stuff. We got the tree. I know, compared to this tree. But anyway, hey, it just needs a little love. Don't we all? Okay, I think that's all I need. Instructions. Always read the instructions. Remove Charlie Brown's Christmas tree base and ornament from box. How would I have known that? I figured that out all by myself. Okay, step two. Lay the board with the footed bottom on top of the flat board so they make an X. Oh, all right. X marks the spot. Oh, and there's a little hole here somewhere. Okay, all right. Got it. Step three, screw the base of tree into the overlapping holes until all three pieces are tightly bound together. Isn't this suspenseful? Oh, hold on. All right, that's not fitting really well at all. Okay, that's good, though. It's supposed to kind of lean a little bit anyway, right? Oh, and begin to step four, add the red ornament. Well, first I better go to step five and just stretch some of these out. Fa la 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 la. Oh. Here it is. Fa la 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 la. Ooh. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yes, thank you. I hope you all saw that at home. All right, there we go. We offer two different versions of tree. One is with a blanket. Oh, no blanket. But you know what? When I set this up at home, look what my wife and daughter did. They surprised me by taking this and wrapping it around the base of the tree. Wasn't that nice of them? There. Now we're ready. And now you may be asking yourself, why did I do all that? Well, first of all, it makes for a shorter sermon that I had to prepare. You know, you got to think of these things. Okay, if you're a baby boomer especially, let me take you back to the Christmas of 1965. That was the first year that the Charlie Brown Christmas special was aired on television. I even remember that. Charles Schulz, the world's most popular cartoonist at the time, he wanted to include the reading of a Bible verse. And that was Luke chapter 2. Remember Linus walking out onto the stage? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, CBS, Columbia Broadcasting System, did not like that. In fact, the producer even said, Charles, are you sure? You want to have someone read the Bible in a kid's cartoon? And Mr. Schulz replied, if we don't do it, who will? And like I say, this was Charles Schulz, right? Happiness is a warm puppy and all the other things that we said back in those days. Good grief. Well, needless to say, Mr. Schulz got his way with the big network executives. Linus did walk out onto that stage, which looks an awful lot like this board's right here as I think about it. He walked out onto that stage and he did read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Thank God for Charles Schulz, eh? And for 50 plus years, children got to hear those words spoken to the shepherds and read by somebody their own age. And all in response to Charlie Brown's question, can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about? Now, of course, these days, the original cartoon, it's rather dated. Your kids will probably even find it boring, right? And what's with all that weird jazz music? As for CBS, they do not air it anymore. In fact, here in 2021, a Charlie Brown Christmas will be on your TV screen only one time this year. Thank God for PBS. They are going to broadcast a Charlie Brown Christmas on Sunday, December 19th at 7:30 p.m., ad-free on PBS and PBS Kids. Set your PVR. Actually, you know what? You may want to set your PVR because there was actually a silent, secret message in Linus's big scene. And the show had run for almost 50 years before anybody noticed it, or at least started sharing it thanks to the World Wide Web. Now, this may be old news to you. Maybe you heard about this. But when little Linus walks out onto that stage, and when he says those words, fear not, he did something he never did before. And you got to watch closely because it's off to the side. But he actually let go. He dropped his ever-present security blanket. He just dropped it down there. He lays it down on the stage as if to say to all children everywhere, old and young, that the good news of the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, it means we do not have to be afraid. Just maybe we can drop our security blankets. We have several, don't we? All the things we think we need to have to make us happy, all the things we're convinced we can't live without, the promise of Jesus is that we can let those drop. Now you'll be setting your PVR. What did I say it was? December? Or you can look it up on YouTube. Yeah, December 19th. Thanks, Millie. 7:30 p.m. PBS. PBS Kids. Okay, here we are. It's another December. And I thought I would do some messages this month to focus on the season of Advent, the anticipation of the coming of the Lord. Now, many churches do this very same thing. And, hey, by the way, did you know that Kevin Wakeham actually made that Advent wreath? That is cool. Thank you, man. And on the four Sundays leading up to Christmas, we light one of these candles here at Generations Church. Now, churches have different traditions about this, of course. But for the most part, these candles all represent some aspect of what Christmas is all about. Last week, Shauna started off our season of Advent. She lit the candle of hope. And this morning, thanks again, Mary and Sarah, for lighting the candle of love. And so we have hope, love, joy is that little pink candle there. And then the last candle we will light will be the candle of peace. Hope, love, joy, and peace. Those are the four thoughts that each of these candles represent. And since I didn't do this last Sunday, I thought, well, today I'll just combine hope and love, right? They go together. And as I thought about it, I suddenly recalled that those words hope and love tie together so well in a passage from Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, if you want to turn there, we'll put it up on the screen in a minute, but Romans chapter 5. This is not the usual kind of place in the scriptures that we look at this time of year, right? We usually look at those first couple of chapters in Matthew and Luke. By the way, you folks maybe want to get into a little habit of reading the Christmas story at home right from the Bible. That's where you find it, first couple chapters of Matthew and Luke. Or maybe we think about Isaiah, some of the other prophets. But Romans 5, well, those first five verses actually mention, well, believe it or not, I'm going to try and make a case for it. I think they actually mention all four of what these Advent candles represent. Let me show you. Romans 5, starting at verse 1. There we are. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Advent candles that we light every Christmas season, hope, love. The last one is peace, and right there in the middle we have that one that's a different color, the pink candle. That's the candle of joy. Now, as I read those verses, you saw the words hope and love and peace all show up there. But I want to make a case that joy appears here as well. No, we don't find it named. But as we think about other places that we've looked at in Scripture, what Paul says here, that whole part about glorying in our sufferings, it's like treasure, right? Sometimes you got to dig a little bit to find it. Joy, true joy, is actually hidden in these words. It kind of running like a river through whatever difficult circumstance we find ourselves in. Now, you've heard this said before. This is old news to you. But joy and happiness are not the same thing, right? So many of us chase after that very elusive feeling we call happiness. And the Bible's very honest in telling us we don't always find happiness in the circumstances of our life or in our world. Joy is that which we believers experience, and we find it hidden amidst all the stuff of everyday life. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, right? Remember how James started off his letter when we looked at it back in the summertime? Oh, summertime. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's pretty much what Paul is saying right here, isn't it? In his letter to the Romans. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm really hoping I remember some of this good stuff next Sunday when we do the sermon on joy. But all four are actually here in Romans chapter 5. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the angel said to those shepherds. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now, many of us are more familiar with the quote as we find it in the King James Version. And if you've never read it before, you remember what Linus said, right? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now, you know, a number of years ago when I started using the NIV translation, I thought, well, I guess those translators sure got it wrong. In fact, I used to even tell people, the message from the angels, that's not for everyone, you know. Oh no, God's favor doesn't rest on everybody. His goodwill is only for those who have received Christ as their Savior and Lord. But you know, I have come to realize that in this case, in this particular passage, that isn't quite accurate, what I just told you. Now, in fact, the King James translators didn't get it wrong at all. Now, understand, if you want to be forgiven, if you want to have the assurance that you will someday have a home in heaven when you die, absolutely for sure, you must receive Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. It's the only way to have true peace with God. That's why he came, right? You must be born again. But on whom does God's favor rest? In those words that everybody, the whole world over, knows that passage in Luke's gospel. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Well, the favor of God, demonstrated in the birth of a baby in a manger and completed when he died on the cross and rose again, that favor rests on everybody. Everybody. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul quotes some words from Isaiah 49, right? In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. And then Paul says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. This message of Christmas is for everybody. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for who? For all the people. God so loved the world. We're living in the time when God is extending his great invitation to anyone who will hear, anyone who will submit to him. Now, of course, not everybody is willing to welcome Jesus into their hearts and lives. Certainly CBS is not planning on sharing that message anymore, neither is NBC. They were running it for a while. But that message, and this is why we can't keep it to ourselves, everyone needs to hear it. It's through the good news, those glad tidings, it's through Jesus that we, through faith, gain access into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God, regardless of the hardship, regardless of disappointment and fear, regardless of the darkness that we often find ourselves in. Hope does not put us to shame. And some translators say there that hope does not disappoint. You may be ridiculed by some of your family or friends because you want to be a Christian, but no one will ever, forever be able to wag their finger at you and say, how stupid you are to believe all this stuff. Come on, it's a fairy tale. No, hope will not let us down. It won't ultimately disappoint us at all. We can't even imagine what awaits us. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We know it, and we wish that for others. We wish that they would have the very same hope that we have. Okay, Isaiah chapter 9, there I told you we were going to quote him, and we often do, especially this chapter. Just pull out that one spot in Isaiah 9 if you can there, Diane. But he says this, and you know these words, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Isaiah 9 and verse 2. Hey, haven't we as well, especially in these last couple of Christmases? I mean, hasn't the whole world? Are we not among a people walking in darkness? We've now added the word Omicron to our vocabulary. Well, we're all getting a lesson in learning Greek at least, aren't we? Once again, uncertainty is simmering just beneath whatever semblance of normal we were hoping to achieve this Christmas compared to last year. So will this be the final holiday that we have to wear a mask and stay socially distanced? No one really knows. Well, hold on, I shouldn't say that. Our Father knows, doesn't he? God knows. There is a great light that has dawned, if we will only have the eyes of faith to see it. And for those who have seen and embrace that light, well, Isaiah 9 shares these words, and these have come to bring so much meaning to a Christian celebration of Christmas, right? For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. By the way, have you ever had Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door? This is Jesus. He's a mighty God. He's our everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. I was putting together some shorter Advent devotionals to use on the radio, and I came across these words from Pastor Greg Laurie. He said, as we look at our world today, we realize that part of that promise in Isaiah 9 has not yet been fulfilled. The son has been given, the child has been born, but he has not taken the government upon his shoulders yet. We do not have peace with judgment and perfect justice. Not always. But the good news is that there's going to come a day when Christ will return. He will establish his kingdom on this earth, and it will be the righteous rule of God himself. And then he went on to say this: before Jesus could take the government upon his shoulder, he had to take the cross on his shoulder. Before he could wear the crown of glory as King of Kings, he had to wear the shameful crown of thorns and give his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. The first time a star marked his arrival, the next time he comes, the heavens are going to roll back like a scroll. There are going to be stars falling from the sky. He himself is going to light that sky. Christ came to this earth. He is the light of the world. God came near to us so we can come near to him, to give our lives purpose and meaning, to forgive us of our sins and give us the hope of heaven beyond the grave. Christmas is not about tinsel or shopping or presents. Christmas is, you know, not about the gifts under the tree entirely, right? Christmas is about the gift that was given on a tree. The cross made from a tree where Christ died for our sins to give us the gift of eternal life. Now here, just one more quote from Pastor Laurie. He says, and rightly so, there are many who are in need of encouragement these days. We don't need a Christmas present. Someone you know who maybe needs a word of encouragement, they don't need a Christmas present. They need his Christmas presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. They need to be reminded of what this is all about. It's not about things. Now, these things have their place, of course. You know, and thank you so much to the people who donated. And we're going to be able to bless families with this. We're going to. They're going to get a card from Generations Church. Wow. Who knows? But we don't do it for that reason. We just do it because we want to bless people. Gifts have their place. Okay, if you ever want to, I can tell you my shirt size, and chocolate is always nice. But we need to remember, right? The essential message of Christmas. It's Emmanuel, God with us. With us. He's here. He's here. And for the hurting person, the lonely person, person experiencing sorrow, sickness, this is the time of year to bring the gift of encouragement to them and tell them the message of Christmas. It's this: God will be with you. God will help you. God will strengthen you. Is that not true? Okay, now, this is going to sound very weird coming from me, all right? But there is a real sense in which Jesus is not the reason for the season. Ooh, that's almost blasphemy, isn't it? No, actually, in God's heart and mind, you are the reason for the season. The reason he sent his only son to live among us and to die for us. You are the reason. He was born in Bethlehem. His was the only sacrifice good enough to pay for the debt of sin that stands between us and our Creator. He did that for you. He did it for me. Now, again, we don't usually look at Romans 5, but I just wanted to conclude with a few more verses from Romans 5. In fact, maybe they don't seem so un-Christmas-like now at all. But Romans 5, and we'll just start at verse 6. It says, "You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." God so loved that he gave us his Son. His love brings us hope. And that's what Christmas is all about. Charlie Brown, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this message of Christmas. It's been around a long, long time, and Lord, there's so much in the world that has nothing to do with Christmas at all, at least the way we think of it. Oh, Lord, it suddenly reminds me now that when we tell people to put Christ in Christmas, Lord, let us put him in Christmas by the love we share for each other. Let us put him in Christmas by helping those who are not doing so well. Let us put Christ back in Christmas by being your hands and feet in this world. Let us put Christ in Christmas by the love that you have poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Let us share that with every single person, because everybody needs this message. Everyone. Lord, thank you on this Advent Sunday. As we think about the love, we think about the hope, we think about the joy, we think about the peace that you have brought to us. It's in our hearts. And I pray a special blessing for everybody here and everybody watching on Zoom. Father, in our darkness, in our pain, in our loneliness, in our whatever it is that's frustrating us right now, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We welcome you. There's room in our hearts for you. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. God bless you.